personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
So we'll kick off the show. If you're watching on YouTube, we're on video this particular week, so.
To quote Adam Sandler, sorry I'm not better looking.
Which means that now suddenly people might be able to notice, I don't know, through the camera, but I keep discovering it. I'm somehow getting sunburnt on my face from whatever is happening. I'm like, I spend, what, 8 minutes outside during the winter?
This is about double what I spend.
Like to and from my car and then shoveling off my driveway the end?
We are at like 6,600 feet, so...
The sun has like a 30-second window to get in there and burn me, and it's taken it every single time. It's
all I know
incredible
is,
accuracy.
War Memorial Stadium, where Wyoming plays, is at 7,220. It's famous that it plays at 7,220 feet, and it says, how's your oxygen? They have a whole thing to intimidate teams that come in that maybe don't play at elevation. And that's one of the places where you go to a game and you might need a winter coat and burn the other half of your face in the same game. It just happens. It's just one of those places. So, yeah, welcome to the Rockies.
So we got a couple of sporting stories before we get into our picks for the upcoming playoff round, Dal. First of all, ESPN's reporting on it. Feels like a waste of time, but it never is because social media exists. Ivan Provorov. I don't know if you've seen any of that. His decision to sit out warm-ups during Pride Night for the Philadelphia Flyers because he didn't want to wear the jersey. Said, I didn't want to wear the rainbow flag jersey, so I stayed here. Spoke to the media after the game. Said, well, I'm of Orthodox Russian faith. Didn't want to. Sat it out. So naturally, it's the biggest story in sports right now with playoffs happening and this and that. And a hockey player said he didn't want to do warm-ups in a jersey. So,
well, I gotta be honest with you, I hadn't even heard of it. So not to discount,
my ESPN app won't shut up dinging me with random updates about what his teammates and coaches are saying about it, as if I'm supposed to care.
I guess I don't understand the issue.
Yeah.
You can do what you want.
Yeah.
Especially in the days of where athletes have basically their own brand. They can build their own brand in a lot of different ways, whether it's social media or all these different ways. I mean, you can be worldwide from your living room couch. That's amazing. It's still an amazing thing to me. If he wants the fallout from this or doesn't care about it, then so be it. At the same time, he has every right to do what he wants to do. The same thing I feel like if I'm assuming there's been some comparisons to the kneeling before the national anthem kind of thing. Has there been any?
I haven't seen people make those yet. I'm sure they're coming.
I didn't have any issue with that either.
Political meme pages are on their way. They're getting them.
I feel like you should be able to have your opinion and then operate in a vacuum when it comes to your country. If you really want a free country, there's going to be some things that take place that you may not agree with. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is. There's 300 million people that live here. And so I can disagree with something and still not necessarily think I have to ban it or get rid of it or this has to stop. Why are we thinking this way?
Well, mostly because I forget his name. I want to say it was Bane Pettigrew, who is a famously gay agent for the NHL, took it upon himself to go to social media and then go off on a tirade on ESPN. I mean, just condemning Ivan Provorov about, we made all these steps to be more inclusive, and he destroyed all of it in one foul swoop. Like, no, he didn't. He did not.
He's one player.
My favorite was I saw a tweet.
For San Jose.
He.
No offense, but how many Stanley Cups have they won?
I believe he's from the Flyers.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Sorry.
See what happens to me when I start talking hockey? Oh, you're right. The Flyers. Okay.
One of their better defensemen. My favorite, though, was the tweet.
I'm just saying, he's not like the MVP. He's not like the current reigning MVP.
He's one of the better defensemen in the league. But
fine.
My favorite was one of the tweets, though, that said, getting constantly reminded how much this league hates me and people like me is not fun. I said, constantly. It was Pride Night.
Yeah. Like,
it was one dude. What do you mean getting constantly reminded by the league?
Yeah, the league is sponsoring a Pride Night, correct?
Yes. The league also likes to change its logo to, you know, all the little stripes in the NHL the logo thing, on the shield.
The other
like
thing
to
I want to point
change
out
it to rainbow colors.
Is that everything is a process. What I mean by that is if you're here and you want to get there, there's a space.
Mm-hmm.
And this current generation, and actually some of it's good because I think it was too slow before. My generation and the ones before it, things took too damn long. It's like, well, maybe in 100 years we'll stop doing this. And then this current generation came along and went, bull crap, we're changing that tomorrow. Both of which are ridiculous. There's got to be some time, but I do applaud the idea that there's been progress in a lot of these different things. That being said, there's still got to be some time. I mean, grandma at home is still racist. You're not going to change your mind. if you thought she had changed, go check Facebook. I promise she hasn't. I just
thought this whole thing was weird.
Well, it is, and it's
like, so we sat out warm-ups. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? And again, I will throw the same thing in there. People who maybe thought that there's a similar, well, how come people in football can't kneel without getting in trouble? Well, they can't. They should be able to. Go ahead. Do I agree with it? No. Are you asking my opinion or are you asking what I think should happen? Because those are two different things. See, we can have a complex, layered discussion about things. It doesn't just have to be, nope, this is the way it is, and if you don't do it, you're done, you bleeping bleeper.
What we can say that about, though, apparently, is being an offensive coordinator in the NFL this year. Very much. Like, what is it, 12 of them are done?
It's definitely turned into a year where you have coaches that were, like, maybe on the verge of getting let go,
mm-hmm.
but they're willing to,
Everyone got fired.
They're willing to cut the guy on the rope below them to stay holding on. Sorry, Byron Leftwich, we got to let you go.
Yeah.
Of many, of course. And some of those are, I mean, as a Washington fan, I mean, me and my brother, who have been Washington fans for decades, we famously make fun of what Washington's offense is going to be over the course of a game and over the course of this whole season. For example, they scored early against Dallas in the regular season finale. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, slow down, guys. You only get to score 17 a game. You gotta make it last. You got to stretch it out. You can't get them all in the first half. That'll be way too disappointing. Now that one, they end up scoring a whopping 23 or something like that.
But won the game, though.
They did because Dallas decided to not suck. Show up. Which, don't get me wrong,
if they would like to do that next week, I would very much appreciate it.
I love
that, by
that.
The way. This coming week.
Dallas beats Washington so often that if they want to show up, not show up once, and I get to watch them get their ass kicked, and Jerry Jones looking around in his booth wondering what's going on, that's priceless to me. I love that.
Jerry Jones' sadness is what fuels me, I think.
Well, I don't even
that, know. And whenever the Packers lose in the playoffs, if it's at Lambeau, I love when they pan through the crowd.
And all you the can sad see, cheese heads.
You can see, like, crying, like, children and old ladies, and you're just like, I'd feel much worse if you were people. But instead, you're just Packer fans, so it's funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of offensive coordinators that are looking for work.
Greg Roman from Baltimore, who kind of handcrafted that whole offense to be the Lamar Jackson offense. Fired because the offense didn't work with people that weren't Lamar
technically,
Jackson.
This says he resigned.
Oh, my apologies.
This says he resigned amid declining results. Well, it's kind of hard to tailor your offense around Lamar Jackson if Lamar Jackson's not playing.
That is difficult.
And no matter how much you want to tell me that Tyler Huntley is Lamar Jackson, he ain't Lamar Jackson.
No.
Not a healthy Lamar Jackson. I think he's a nice fill-in, and in fact, I think Tyler Huntley might even be another version of Geno Smith somewhere. You know, he could be a starter. He could be a guy that goes through a season and gets you to the playoff. He could be that guy.
They obviously didn't have Lamar Jackson for their playoff game against Cincinnati, which J.K. Dobbins has now publicly said is the reason they lost.
Well, maybe it was.
Tyler Huntley's still your teammate, dude.
Yeah, but he didn't, he wasn't lying.
Not publicly, you don't say that.
He wasn't lying. He also said he should have been the one carrying the ball at the goal line, and he's not lying.
Ugh.
Here's the thing. You've got guys, again, this is where the Josh Allen butt-kissing begins. Josh Allen has ruined that play for most of the quarterbacks in the NFL.
I would say Cam Newton probably was the first one to be truly like the, I'm just going to jump over the putt. Only because Newton used to impress me by the sheer fact of, I mean, Josh Allen, Cam Newton, lots of quarterbacks now, big, tough, strong dudes. Newton looked like he had the ball velcroed to his palm every time. Well, where I'm like, wide receivers in this league don't have hands as strong as this guy.
Well, not only that, his hands are, their hands are friggin' huge.
I remember there was a clip when he was mic'd up for a game and he told Steve Smith, he said, well, I got the best hands on this team. I catch the ball in every play. What do you catch the ball, like 8 times on a good day? And he said it as a joke, but like half the time when I see him not fumble after some of the hits he would take or diving over the goal line, I started to think maybe it's not a joke. Maybe Cam Newton is the best hands in the league. I don't know.
But yeah, going back to Dobbins, I mean, he's a big, thick back.
Mm-hmm.
And you're at the 1.5, and yeah, he's probably thinking, give me the ball.
Yeah,
I'm very old school conservative. I agree with him. Give him the damn ball.
And
give it to him 3 times.
I'm Captain Complain about the death of the QB sneak in the league ever since Mahomes got hurt. Like at 4th and inches, don't turn around. Just lean forward, take your free first down, and move on.
Well, there is a little bit of a technique to it. I mean, if you want to see who's damn good at it, Tom Brady. Tom Brady is dang good.
He was also very good at catching you with your pants down.
Yeah,
and doing it.
But
it's the big thing.
But it's like, don't just bang your head against the wall. Look and see where the seam is.
Sometimes, though, it's as simple as, okay, it's 4th and 3 inches. Can we just hike and we'll just lean forward and fall down? Bears several times this season. Justin Fields is 6'3". He can't. If he just takes the snap and falls forward, it's a first down. Like, come on now.
6'3" is not big.
That's big for a person, though, is what I'm saying. It's
not
it's
for the NFL, though.
It's larger than the 3 inches that you needed on that third down play. Instead, we're in shotgun and we're handing off to Montgomery.
Yeah, it's actually the shotgun thing that annoys me more than Tyler Huntley doing whatever he was, you know, trying to do what he was going to do.
Which it feels like, as it turns out, was entirely Huntley's fault.
Well,
was not told to jump.
If you want that yard, then bring in one of your more athletic offensive linemen off your bench. Have him report as a tight end. Overload one side. Bring in a fullback.
And they got a darn good one in Baltimore.
Yeah, they got Ricard. That guy's he reminds me of Mike Allstott. Anyway, and then give the ball. I'm just saying, overloaded line, extra lineman, fullback, 230-pound running back.
Beef.
Why is everyone overthinking this now? It's like these. It's like the coaches now that feel like 3 points is not enough. Well, we got to score a touchdown because we're playing these guys. Meanwhile, the next possession, these guys scores a field goal. You pissed years away. And the end and the final ends up being 21-16 or something like that. Take your friggin' points. What is wrong with the? It's like common sense has been outthought in certain cases in the league. Take your field goal. Use the mass of humanity at the line. It used to be stuff that was just common sense, and now it's like, well, it reminds me of Coach Klein on Waterboy. He's going to think about faking. He pretends to fake. It just put the ball in the end zone.
I've loved that play, though.
Oh, I freaking loved it because
as Joe Burrow's number one fan,
the governor, Dislodging the football.
I don't know if you saw, by the way, Sam Hubbard was mic'd up for that football game.
Oh, was he?
So he was mic'd up, huffing and puffing all the way down the field for his...
I can't imagine how cool that would have been for him, being a Cincinnati guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he played his high school ball there, and it's like... You're going to score a 98-yard
to beat the Ravens
defensive touchdown on your hometown. That's surreal. It really is. That being said, that's not the player we focused on very much out here in Wyoming. We're focused on Logan Wilson, of course, because he's from Wyoming, third rounder. We call him the governor. You might call him the governator. The way he's been playing. But
by the way, two plays that everyone in America kept taking to social media to debate if they're both of them not penalties. It's not a block in the back on the return.
Everyone's a friggin' pansy now.
Well, first of all, the contact was initiated in the front anyway. Mark Andrews is just faster than the linebacker he was outrunning. Second of all, it's not a block at all because all he did was tap him on the back with one hand. He didn't push him. It's not a block. It's just a gentle touch. Secondly, Skylar Thompson was in bounds when he took that hit from Milano.
Yeah, that one.
Why are so many people on Twitter talking, if this was Patrick Mahomes, that guy would have been arrested. I'm like, no, it would have been legal if it was Patrick Mahomes, too, because he was in bounds.
Yeah. Well, this is where all this stems from. It stems from all of this crap of having rules analysts in the booth, and now they've become part of the...
Although the rules analyst that was in the booth specifically told all of us that he was inbound.
But it doesn't matter. We're having this nerd... You used to make fun of the guy that was at your watch party that talked like this. The one that's like, well, technically, there's not a one-yard line. It's like, shut up. We don't care. There's not a 6-inch line. It's like, shut up. We don't care. We're watching this because we want to see someone just get broken in half. And anybody who says differently is full of crap. We watch football because it's unpredictable. People do amazing things. And it's violent. It's a violent sport of which the men put themselves out there willingly and are paid an exorbitant amount of money
in the field of play legally.
And they're paid an exorbitant amount of money because they don't know what's going to happen. And I'm not trying to take anything away from the players. In fact, it's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
What? You can't disrespect the game by pulling this tip-tap crap. He was in bounds.
He was well in bounds.
Did he himself complain?
No. Nor did Miami, I don't think. It's all reporters.
Because he's a football player. If Mike... Here's how I know the league is still okay, even though I'm whining about these things. You go back a few weeks, Mike White was nearly murdered on TV. Who were they playing? Was it the Bills?
Yes.
He was nearly murdered on TV twice. I mean, he was hit as hard as basically you're allowed to get hit in the league
in broken ribs
now without getting ejected.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what happened when it happened? Me and I'm sitting there with my brothers watching. We went, "Oh, holy shit! Did you see that?"
I thought that...
Let's see it again.
I thought that about... was it Edmonds that crushed the running back, Wilson, out of the backfield on the third down? And you actually could see, like, the old Crash Bandicoot games when you die and the little white ball with the wings would then float up into the heavens to let you know that you died. And I could have sworn I saw the little white ball leaving Jeff Wilson's body and floating just above my screen.
It's just... I think we kind of get hypocritical when we start talking about, and I do it too, you know, when like you're watching your team and you really want to win and something happens like, well, that should have been defensive holding or that should have been this. There should be a penalty on that. Blah, 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 blah. Shut up. Go execute more and go win the game. It's football. Do you want to know why Washington loses all the time? Because they suck.
Although I have very much been the guy to say, if a referee commits something that's so egregious in a key moment, I was always the first guy to then, like, my helmet was off and I'm going to be about 3 inches from the referee's face with my face blood red at that point. I was not a kind to officials player, to be honest, but...
Speaking of which, now let me just clarify.
In case, if I was interfered with, I better see a flag every single time it ever happens.
Now, just to be clear, it's in case any Washington fan or former players or players actually hear this. I love the Washington franchise. They've been my team since I was 5 years old. Daryl Green is my favorite player. Daryl, I love you. But I just, we get too hung up on the protocol. Right now, it bothers me. It used to be, yep, we're going to get screwed by the refs today. Go out, play them. Leave no doubt, Herman. Leave no doubt.
Some other things happening around the league as well. We have some GM searches. The Titans found their new GM. And this one I found interesting. I know you hate Kyler Murray, so you might find this very entertaining.
I hate him. I just think he's a baby.
You don't like Kyler Murray. I'll rephrase for you.
I don't hate anyone. You hate Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah.
If Aaron Rodgers wanted to come on the show, I would pee myself.
No, yeah, genuinely, if Aaron Rodgers, like we're not talking about, like, oh, everything I say is a joke, and, you know, he's still another person. Like, genuinely, if I was driving down the highway and I saw Aaron Rodgers' car broken down on the side of the highway, I'd drive by waving to him and then just keep on driving.
Well, at least you're not going to swerve. I was wondering where that story was going to go.
Like, best of luck, man.
Yeah, he'll probably be fine.
Yeah, I doubt his cars break down anyway.
Now I want to come back to Aaron Rodgers, but you were saying.
Yes, the Arizona Cardinals offered Chicago Bears. Now, this is always funny to me because this is like the deep insider stuff. You have to really know what to look for this to make sense, because the Bears are coming off a 3-14 season, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't think anyone who had any say in putting together a team that just went 3-14 would be getting interviews, right? Ian Cunningham is the Bears' assistant GM. He was just hired last year with Ryan Poles. They came together. Cunningham got 8 interviews to go become a GM for another team. Apparently, very well-respected, up-and-coming GM candidate among many people, got the job offer from the Arizona Cardinals and said no. He said, I don't want anything to do with the Arizona Cardinals organization. But on top of that, this benefits the Bears in a unique way, because if he stays for 2 years, we get two third-round draft picks as compensation, as reported by Jay Glazer. He was only here for 1 year. He's going to come back next year, then probably go get a GM job somewhere. Then we get 2 free third-round picks for him as compensatory draft picks. Thanks, Ian.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was an interesting tidbit.
There's always deals like that that make you go, man, somebody really, there's some real savants with the league business. They really know what's going on.
Cunningham was famous, though, before he came to Chicago last year. He was the head of the scouting department for the Eagles for many years, including their Super Bowl run. So evidently, he is well-respected member, and we get him for 1 more year. The year that we have all our cap space and the number 1 overall pick, he's going to be in Ryan Poles' ear. So we get the important year still from Ian Cunningham helping out, and then he can go do what's right for him and go take a GM job somewhere.
Another thing that got mentioned that, today, they were talking about the teams will be playing internationally next season. 5 of them will be playing in Europe. You got the Chiefs and Patriots. They'll be playing in Germany,
mm-hmm.
which is so crazy to me.
Not against each other.
No.
These
are the home teams. So 2 different games. They haven't determined who they're playing yet. And then the Bills, Titans, and Jaguars will play in London. Not new for the Jags. In fact, there was talk.
Well, Shadiq Khan owns one of the Premier League teams in Manchester.
There was talk years ago of the Jags moving to London. I mean, that was a legitimate conversation.
Again, because
conversation.
Of Khan.
I don't think that's happening now, but
I don't think that was ever going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But anyway, kind of interesting. What was kind of fun was watching these games. the Bucs and Tom Brady played in Germany, one of the Germany games this past season, and you could tell all of the players were really impressed. They were really impressed with the German crowd, and they were just freaking excited to be there, man. Like, and they stayed after the game was over for like hours, just partying. And I'm like, well, they are Germans. Supposedly they've got great beer. I don't know, but beer and brats party at the German stadium. It's just kind of interesting how the NFL, they've kind of been growing this. I mean, they used to have NFL Europe, of which Wyoming's Casey Bramlett was the MVP of their final championship game from Wheatland, Wyoming.
Was he on the Hamburg Sea Devils? That was my defaulto, well, de facto team.
He was a quarterback from little tiny Wheatland, Wyoming. It's a 2A Wyoming school.
I will still never forget the incredibly bizarre play from that championship game. I was watching it on NFL Network because every weekend, that was the original Spring League. Football wasn't on, NFL Network would show you NFL Europe all summer and spring, you're going, wee!
It's just interesting, though, because...
But anyway, they catch a kickoff return, I believe coming out of the second half, Hamburg does, and I'm rooting for... And the reason I rooted for them was because I liked their uniforms the best. This is literally the sole reason they were my favorite team. They catch the kickoff return, the dude takes three steps forward, cocks back, and just chucks the ball 40 yards downfield, and some dude catches it at midfield, runs for 10 more yards, and gets pushed out of bounds, and I went, what? Flags everywhere, illegal forward pass on the return team, and so I went, okay, so I wasn't crazy. What?
Someone doesn't know the rules.
For anyone that isn't familiar, I'm sure you can YouTube it.
Yeah.
It was a dude trying to throw a Hail Mary on a kickoff return.
But it's interesting to me that the NFL Europe, I mean, it was around for over a decade. I mean, it was, but then it decided, you know, this isn't it's not financially feasible or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then they've kind of been increasing. I mean, they still want that international audience. And it's crazy to me how excited the fans get when these guys come. They don't care who it is. Yeah. They just want an NFL game.
I would have started a bring it back chant just now, but 2023 is already going to be the year of football, Dal. So officially starting in February, right after the Super Bowl is done, the XFL makes its premiere, and that'll run through April.
I hope it's something that can grab people's attention.
It'll grab mine regardless, because I've watched all these stupid spring leagues.
I see just
because
grabs football. Yours. You watch the WNBA.
Hey, football is football to me, Dal. We watch high school football every year.
Yeah, I love
year.
High school football. I know those kids, though.
Of course, we had a blast doing the 2A game. It was 2A, right?
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
I don't know anyone from Bighorn or Lyman, but what a finish. And Nine Man had quite a game as well. Anyhow.
It wasn't Lyman, it was Lovell.
Lovell, yes. That's my apologies to everyone not from Wyoming that wouldn't have known that. Almost gave credit to the wrong school.
How dare you?
Unbelievable. But XFL will run through April, and then right after that one's done, the USFL is coming back for season two.
Well, plus you got the draft in late April.
And so the draft happens.
And your Bears are picking first?
I don't know that they will, but...
as of right now, they're picking first.
You heard the really, 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 really strong rumors that are not being fanned out at all by the Colts general manager, Mr. Ballard, who claimed, when asked, if you saw a quarterback you liked in this draft, would you be willing to trade up three spots just to get him? And rather than playing the game, he gave the most blatantly clear see-through window answer ever. He said, to get a quarterback in this league, I'd be willing to move heaven and earth to get it done because that's the most important thing we need. And I went, well, all right, 8 first-round picks it is then, I guess, since you're just going to come right out and say that.
It'll be interesting to see what that pick turns into.
And then
who will make it?
I don't remember what the source was, but it was very reliable. NFL insider source tweeted out, the Indianapolis Colts were currently putting a trade package together that would include the number 4 overall pick, Michael Pittman, several other players, and a haul of draft picks to go up to number 1. And then, in the most hilarious twist, the end of the tweet says, they have become infatuated with Will Levis. Not Bryce Young, not C.J. Stroud. They would give all of that up, rumored, to go get Will Levis from Kentucky.
Again,
you might get him at 4.
If it's the right guy, then yeah, it's worth it. But there's no way you know that. I mean,
I'll take it, though.
Very rarely does a guy come across and you're like, yep, that's him. That's, you know, Andrew Luck, which honestly, I don't know if that turned out to be a good pick or not.
I mean, I would have taken 8 years of Andrew Luck on the Bears.
But did you go to the Super Bowl?
No.
No?
Wasn't Andrew Luck's fault, though.
Sure it is. Did he stay healthy?
I'm talking about every time he lost a playoff game, it was because their defense gave up like 56 points.
I'm not bad-mouthing Andrew Luck. I'm just saying, but when you draft these guys, that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping to win a Super Bowl. You're hoping they go to the Hall of Fame, number 1 overall.
The two surefire, there it is, that have happened in my life were Trevor Lawrence and Andrew Luck.
Joe Burrow.
Even Joe Burrow,
no.
Who is my guy.
You don't think Joe Burrow is...
They were talking about, were they going to draft that linebacker, number 1, that Chase Young. There was this huge debate.
They were never going to do that.
And the reason was, well, Joe Burrow only had 1 year of college experience, and he was in this loaded offense. And I was a Joe Burrow supporter the whole time, but the talk was out there. Trevor Lawrence and Andrew Luck felt very much, I mean, you're not going to draft anyone that's not one of those two, number 1. You're not even going to think about it.
I guess I felt like Joe Burrow was a slam dunk.
He has been so far.
He has, but of course, I thought the same thing about Josh Allen, but unlike yourself, you can maybe take a little credit in saying you saw something. I'm just a Josh Allen.
Well, he did play for Wyoming. Joe Burrow didn't even play for the school I root for.
Yeah.
I just saw him in week 1 and said, you know, the Bears might
be. My stars. So good.
It was literally, well, the Bears might, there's these rumors we're going to move on from Mitch Trubisky, and we're not going to be picking in the top 10 or anything. So, and I said, I need to look at some of these like second, third round quarterbacks. Ooh, this LSU kid, what a week 1 he had. Everyone said, oh, cool off. It was 1 game. It was against a bad, then he plays Texas, does it again. I went, well, there, he did it again. So clearly what I saw in it was Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, blah, blah, and he just, again, and suddenly he wasn't a second-round pick that the Bears could get anymore by the end of the year. But at that point, I didn't care because for whatever reason, I was the first person to notice Joe Burrow narrative was suddenly more important to me than the can we still scout him narrative.
But yeah, as far as moving up into the draft, every year someone overvalues these picks. Every year someone overpays for them.
Which is what I'm praying for,
and it'll happen this year. Don't worry, the Bears will piss it away. It's what they do.
How dare you, Ryan Poles is very stingy, though. I'll give him that. So
I'll be honest with you. I don't even care who wins the Super Bowl.
I do.
Well, I do too. But minus maybe the Bills winning the Super Bowl, the team that's going to have the most successful season is Washington. If they can get if Dan Snyder indeed sells, that is bigger than any Super Bowl. That is a once
to you.
That is a once every quarter century kind of thing.
On top of that, I believe while we're talking about our teams, I would also be perfectly content, just so we're clear. Everyone's talking about the big trade packages, this and that. If someone doesn't want to give you multiple first round picks or a player you like, you don't have to trade out of it, I guess, because Will Anderson is right there. Just take Will Anderson at 1. My dream scenario is that Houston gets desperate, hearing all these rumors about the Colts. They trade up. We get their 2 and their 12. they can get their quarterback, and we still take Will Anderson at two anyway. Well, that's my dream scenario out of this.
Or the Bears trade back in the middle of the first round.
I've heard Carolina and Vegas are also considering, which would put us into the mid round. But Vegas is ridiculous. Derek Carr is fine. Give him teammates. Stop, and a coach. But you can't.
Have you seen the haircut of the owner? That's all you need to know.
We can also then go back. Last week, quite a little wild card round that was not supposed to be any good and then ended up being really good, annoyingly.
Because you were whining on text like for all weekend.
Like, why won't the Bills and Bengals just put these losers away? Just win by 100 like you were supposed to, but they won. So,
going
to
be some fun ones. Be ready for picks then?
Sure. The other one... the worst roughing the passer call arguably in NFL history against the Giants. And then the Viking horn sounds, which arguably turned it from infuriating to comical. They just called him for roughing the passer for giving him a little hip tickle on the way down. I'm like, oh, we're like really celebrating this in Minnesota, aren't we? All right. I would have maybe just like, maybe the guy who blows it should just go into it a little
Nobody's
bit.
Nobody's blowing anything. It's a button.
Yeah, I know. So that was funny. The Chargers game being spoiled for me on my drive home was not funny.
I did not do it.
No, it was not you. But I had a person back home in Missouri that should know better. They should know better.
Was it Hillbilly Likes Pie?
No, it was Kyler, who's currently winning Pick'em, by the way. Oh. It seems like it's... However, he still owes my dad a t-shirt or hat of his choosing, for Kyler's team came in last in the USFL, and my dad had picked the Birmingham Stallions. Kyler still owes him for that bet that we... an eight-way bet we made. It's been months, man.
You know that thing that's like...
I already warned him he's not getting his prize until he pays up his penalty.
All the gambling things that say bet responsibly. You people that bet on that...
It was irresponsible.
You shouldn't even be allowed to have money.
It was just a hat, to be fair. Okay. I don't know how much a USFL hat could possibly cost. Eight cents?
What would it cost to make them?
Printed on paper?
There's nothing that's free anymore. A dozen eggs cost $6 now. Freaking something.
But yeah, so what would have been one of the most ridiculous comebacks of the century was instead just me watching it on replay going, huh, how far ahead, how big of a lead are the Chargers going to blow? Yeah. Knowing it was coming spoiled it just a tiny little bit.
Sorry. Wasn't me, though.
Buffalo and the Bengals both got their wins. San Francisco, a little scared there in the first half, and then they just slapped Seattle around.
Credit the Seahawks. They had a good thing going. They hung with them for, I'd even say, three quarters.
My favorite, though, was... I believe it was ESPN, which got mocked. And I'm so glad that so many fans know football better than I give them credit for. ESPN tweeted, "This throw by Brock Purdy," and then the exploding mind emoji. And it was the one to Jawan Jennings, where it got him like down to the 8. It's off play action, and Purdy throws it, and he leads him inside, and the safety just blows Jennings up. And, like, I get it, the ball barely beat the safety to the receiver, but, like, also, don't throw the ball 10 yards inside and almost kill your receiver. That's a touchdown pass if you put it out on the sideline. Don't tell me that's a good pass. And then every response was, "That's a hospital ball, ESPN." Brock Purdy tried to get Jennings killed. What are you talking about?
It was attempted murder.
I'm like, I'm so glad that we're not trying to pretend, like, And everyone in America loves Brock Purdy. I get this. So do I. But that's not the throw to use for the...
Yeah.
He tried to kill a man. His own teammate.
It didn't happen, though.
No. He caught the ball. Good for him. And then Dallas forgot to Dallas. And Tom Brady forgot to Tom Brady.
I guess I was not beguiled. I was not beguiled by the Buccaneers looking good for 1 week.
Well, it wasn't that.
Because I watched them suck for most of the season, and I was like, that's not the team that's going to show up in the playoffs.
In my brain, Like, I actually am that football fan that inexplicably believes that, like, there are streaks that exist that are more powerful than being better, the better football team. And in my brain, I thought, well, Tom Brady being 9-0 against Dallas and Dallas choking every year in the playoffs is more powerful than Dallas being better at football than Tampa Bay. For instance, if the Chiefs and Bengals play in the AFC Championship game, I should be very worried because the Chiefs are, and for some reason my brain will tell me, well, Joe Burrow's 3-0 against Mahomes, so he'll just win again. It doesn't matter if his team is worse. He'll just do it because that's what happens.
That's how this equation works.
Speaking of, first game of the weekend, which you and I will have to be recording.
I'm just going to miss it. I don't do well with the going back and watching it, the whole thing later on. I just move on and go watch the highlights afterwards. See,
I record it and then I threaten bodily harm to people that text me.
It worked for me because I can't outrun you. So, but yeah, both of us will be working Saturday afternoon because, you know,
Star Valley basketball.
Because basketball.
Chiefs and Jaguars. Boy, will I have my Maurice Jones-Drew Jaguars jersey on as tightly as possibly I can.
He lost to the Wyoming Cowboys in the 2004 Las Vegas Bowl, by the way.
That's fascinating information.
One of my favorite games I've ever been to.
What he will be doing...
And you know who else is in that game that's still playing? Sorry, sidebar. Do you know who's still playing from that college game in the NFL? Still playing?
Not Jones-Drew, I don't
Mercedes
believe.
Mercedes Lewis. He's still playing. How? And every time they show him, I'm like, he lost to Wyoming in the 2004 Las Vegas Bowl.
Yeah, he's also a Packer.
Yeah.
So I hate him.
Anyway, you're going to wear your MJD.
Yeah, I'm picking the Chiefs, jersey. Though, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence, yes. Hooray. What a comeback. Oh, they look terrible.
Well, he's already kind of stepped in it this week, too. I can't imagine Arrowhead being any louder than what we just had. Arrowhead is famously, record-breakingly loud.
Well, what are you going to say that's not... I mean, you got to just hype up your own fans.
Exactly. Just say, yeah, I'm sure it's going to be loud. And move on. Now you've given the Kansas City crowd something to latch onto this week.
There is arguably, though, if you're one of those people that just doesn't care about crowd noise. I mean, we've all seen it. There's lots of players that they're like, you know what? I'd rather antagonize the other team's fans right now, just for the fun of it, because it makes it more fun.
I will be cheering for the Jags. I'm picking the Chiefs. But I will be cheering for the Jags because...
So we're both in the exact same boat.
Because there's two Wyoming players on the Jags. Chad Muma, Andrew Wingard. Go get them, guys.
I will root for Jacksonville for A, not being the Kansas City Chiefs, which is their greatest strength as a team, I believe, as far as likability index goes. Secondly, I had Christian Kirk on my fantasy team. Man. He did wonders on me.
You know
me.
What? Remember when Christian Kirk signed that...
He's still vastly overpaid. Don't try to defend it.
And completely dicked over the wide receiver market this offseason. I guess I'm going to disagree with you. I think he did everything his salary said he should have done.
He should have had 1,700 yards for what he was paid.
No. Tyreek Hill didn't even have that. And he got paid $30 million. And he's not in the playoffs anymore.
No, he is not.
I'm just saying that guy took way more crap than he probably deserved.
No, the Jaguars took all the crap for vastly overpaying for what would be an elite slot receiver and is instead, the 27th best wide receiver one in football?
There's 8 teams left playing, and he's the best receiver on one of them.
That doesn't make him a good investment.
I'm not the accountant for the Jaguars.
The main problem
they
with it...
They seem happy with him.
Until they can't get a big name in a couple of years because they're already paying too much for Kirk. And they're like, well, darn it.
Then they'll cut him. Happens all the time. If Dallas can cut Amari Cooper 18 months after
they traded him,
giving him $100 million, no, I'm just saying they'll find a way. Anyway, now we're off topic.
Yeah. So then after that game concludes, we get Giants-Eagles in what, unless you're a Washington or Dallas fan, would seem like, ooh. It's like whenever the, like if the Bears and Packers or the Ravens and Steelers meet in the playoffs and you go, oh. Except that this game has Daniel Jones in it, who actually played really well against Minnesota.
Really good.
But Minnesota had the worst defense in the playoffs.
Minnesota was so bad that Washington scored 17 points on them this year. That's pretty bad. I feel he rolls in this game. And I also want to throw this out there.
The one question, how does Jalen Hurts look coming back from 4 weeks of sitting out?
That's true. That's fair. He also showed up.
They should win anyway, but
apparently he also showed up to something wearing his own jersey and people were like, okay. But I
went to a Halloween party like that once because I didn't have a costume. So I literally went to the team facility. I grabbed my pants and my jersey and I said, I'm a football player. That's what I am for Halloween. Put some eye black on and called it.
Yeah. Oh, yep,
there's a costume. Don't worry.
That works. But I've watched quite a few games this year, and if there's a coach in the league who's going to die on the sideline, it's Brian Daboll. When that guy, when he gets really fired up, he looks, it's on another level of physical distress. I mean, his face is like a tomato. It's that red, and you can see the veins in his head just throbbing. And I'm like, that guy's going to die. He's going to die screaming at what just happened here. And a couple of those things have happened this year. I'm just saying, if there's a coach that's going to die because of stress-related heart failure, it's going to be him.
Now, here's a question you can ask, though. Even if they lose this week, even if they lose bad, after that first round of the playoffs, first of all, making the playoffs, second of all, winning a game in Minnesota, the two big questions all season long were, what will the Giants' offense look like next year with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, both free agents? If you're the New York Giants, has Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley earned a re-sign?
They probably are going to get him back. It's going to be interesting, though, because the quarterback market is so ridiculous. So even if I'm just trying to think what Daniel Jones' value is going to be, it's going to be more than you would have ever thought Daniel Jones was worth coming into this season. And whether or not he deserves it, you know, to me, time will tell.
Mm-hmm.
But same thing with Barkley. Overpaying for a lead running
back. Barkley's getting overpaid.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
But he shouldn't. I'm saying the Giants should let him go.
Saquon Barkley is, when healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, he absolutely is right there with Christian McCaffrey. These are the two best running backs in the NFL. Yes, Derrick Henry puts up incredible rushing numbers. He doesn't catch the ball the way that Barkley and McCaffrey do. So I'm going to put him at third.
I think the way the league is constructed, tying up big money for a running back, no matter who they are, is a bad it's a bad decision.
Unless they'll agree to do it short term for you.
There are way too many options coming out every year. I just think there's a lot cheaper ways to get her done.
Yep.
But we'll see what happens. I mean, the leading rusher in the NFL this year doesn't have a contract, so
yeah,
it's not a good time to be a running back. In the NFL, I mean, yeah, you're still going to make more than the guy that pumps the sewer, but this ain't like the Emmitt Smith days where it's like...
We've barely even talked about the Eagles in this breakdown either.
Yeah.
And I think both of us are taking Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
Philadelphia easily on this one.
There's too much talent. They've had a week off.
A.J. Brown, Devonta. I mean, even if Jalen Hurts is rusty, I mean, you can underthrow these guys by 10 yards and they might still catch it.
A.J. Brown is one of the best offseason acquisitions of the last decade, easily. Look what it did to the Titans to take him away, and then he's so good that he makes Devontae Smith look like a number two receiver.
But
he wasn't. I mean, they drafted him to be the guy.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought you were saying that from a different direction. Like, oh, he, look at him. He's getting Smith open because he's drafted.
No, Devontae Smith is good. No, I'm saying he's really good. I think he's a number one receiver on about 25 teams. And that's how good A.J. Brown is. He comes in and makes you the number two receiver on your own team. I just, yeah, he's a freak. He's big, he's fast, he's competitive, and he never...
He's got a bit of the Debo about him, too. Yeah. You can throw him a three-yard slant and then just say, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha, they're trying to tackle him.
Isn't that fun? but yeah, going with Philly.
So this may or may not be our only disagreement of the week coming up.
This is the game of the week.
This is my main event, as it should be America's main, even though they both underplayed last week. But they got it out of their system. They're back now, baby.
Hey, you just win in advance. That's all that matters.
I do fret what the broadcast of this is going to look like, because as much as all of us were very scared for Damar Hamlin and very thankful that he's back, please don't hijack the entire broadcast talking about that incident, the entire game.
Hopefully this game will live up to the hype of what it should be, which is two of the...
It was looking like it was going to be fantastic when they played
it. It's two of the elite quarterbacks... It's two of the elite teams. It's two of the elite fan bases. This place. In fact, I wouldn't be shocked if there's people in Buffalo right now. It's Thursday as we record this. I wouldn't be shocked if there's people in Buffalo right now setting up, waiting for this game now. As wherever they're allowed to do it. I mean, I could see that already being a thing. This game as a... Here's the funny thing. I'm a Washington fan. I have been forever. The last couple years, the Bills have become my de facto number two team, and I watch them every week because of Josh Allen.
Which is what I've done with Cincinnati.
And then Cincinnati has been basically my number three team because of Logan Wilson.
As Josh Allen, purely because in his draft class, I was the Josh Allen guy.
But I just, so now that they're playing
each
other, and especially now that they only got to play basically one series against each other, and so it's just been kind of simmering.
Yes.
And so I think, man, this is going to be such a good game.
This was my dream AFC title game, yeah. But that canceled game put the kibosh to that.
And I'm assuming you're picking Cincinnati.
I am riding with the Fighting Burrows of Cincinnati.
And I am picking Buffalo. I am incredibly nervous about this game.
You should be.
Because for all I know, Cincinnati's going to win on a pick six by Logan Wilson. Which, how the hell would I feel about that? I'd be like, yay!
thankfully, though, this is one of those games where I'm just going to have fun and cheer for Joe Burrow with all my might. Because even if the Bills win, oh well.
The Bills
need, all right, now the Bills are my favorite team left.
The Bills need to play the whole game like they played the first quarter this last week. And I'm talking especially the defense. They've got to play better than that. And I love Josh Allen. I think he's must watch TV. He's got to play a little better. Now, the people that came out and were like, oh, yeah, see, he sucks. Those people were out again. And I'm just like, you're an idiot. He threw for 340 yards and three touchdowns.
I will also say two of those, or one of those turnovers wasn't his fault. I'll maybe give him the fumble.
My point is he's got to be a little smarter with the ball, which is hard to do because, I mean, that's part of the gunslinger mentality.
Apparently, throwing the ball to Cole Beasley and hitting him in both hands is a decision that is considered unsmart because apparently it ends in the Dolphins tying the game at the half.
But the fumble, too. I mean, and, you know, he's granted somebody screwed up there and didn't do their job. But if you're going to be an elite quarterback, you also got to see, hey, that you can't get hit like that. Easy for us to say. But I just, picking the Bills, I don't even know how to feel about it because I like both teams. I like both. They got superstar Wyoming guys on both teams.
Should be fun.
I think both fan bases...
I wish they'd end with this.
I think both fan bases were incredibly gallant in the wake of the Hamlin thing. I mean, and it's kind of been going this way for a while. I mean, going back to when Andy Dalton helped the Bills get in the playoffs the year before Josh Allen even got drafted. And they were all donating to his charity. Anyway, cool stuff. So yeah, you and I disagree on that one. I'll be honest, this next game, I really was considering picking Dallas because they looked really good.
No matter how good they looked.
And there's still a part of me that feels like Brock Purdy is still going to have a rookie game at some point.
I just think the 49ers defense is so much better. Their running game is way better. They absolutely have better wide receivers. For some reason, there's like this habit that people... Oh, dude, C.D. Lamb, he's a superstar. He's not a superstar. I would arguably say that we just talked about, you know, Devontae Smith is a perfectly fine wide receiver
very good.
But good wide receiver two. Devontae Smith, C.D. Lamb, the same. And the 49ers have Kittle, Samuel...
If
I know Ayuk and Jennings are there,
if the Niners can keep Micah Parsons off of Purdy,
which they have Kyle Shanahan coaching up that offense and a very good line.
I'm just saying if they can limit that, they should be fine.
You know what I really want to see in this game? I want to see a play where Micah Parsons comes in on a blitz and the 49ers leave George Kittle in to block. And Kittle and Parsons can both get a couple of steps at each other and just...
Well, you know what's going to happen. Dallas is going to win this on a 50-yard field goal from Maher. After missing four extra points. By the way, Dak Prescott came off as a bit of a dick on the sideline this week.
Throwing his helmet.
And saying F and go for two, this and that. And it's like... Dak realizes he didn't lead the league in interceptions this year, right? And he played in five less games than everyone else. I mean, he realizes that, right?
Heat of the moment.
And the kicker, that kicker hasn't missed four extra points in his career. So yeah, he had a day.
I'm just going to say, heat of the moment.
I know,
whatever.
I'm just saying.
If there weren't cameras there, no one would care.
But he comes off as a bit of a dick.
Comes off... Because there were cameras there, and that changes everything, apparently.
You act like there's not been cameras at an NFL game recently.
No, but I mean, like, any other event. I mean, if these were two high school players, sometimes you just do that. You're like, dang it, a bad thing just happened. I can't believe this. And, like, your running back fumbles, and you play linebacker, well, and you're like, oh, my, he fumbled the ball.
I guess I'm going to be a jerk here.
And then you go out to team dinner afterward, and no one cares.
If you're supposed to be the leader of that team, making the big money... And take him to the Super Bowl, you don't get to act that way about your teammate unless they deserve it.
I don't know.
And I don't know that he deserved it.
I'm not the one who cares too much about the whole...
I'm really not either.
You gotta keep a cool head.
I'm really not either, but I appreciate it more,
Brett Maher says something about how he felt insulted by it, then fine, Dak owes him an apology. Maybe Dak came up to him in the locker room and apologized.
I don't know.
Don't care.
I kept calling him Bill Maher. I'm like, he's kicking like Bill Maher. What I want is proof. I haven't seen it yet. Maybe it's out there. Maybe it didn't happen. But I want proof of someone who made a bet during the game after he missed the third one and said... He's going to miss another one. And then cashed in on it. I want to talk to that person. If they exist. Of course, it's a he. Women are too smart to do that.
My other favorite, by the way, was Peyton Manning having literally the exact same response as Dak did.
Do you know what my favorite quote from Peyton Manning this week was, though? When he was bad-mouthing what happens at halftime. And he says... The myth of the halftime adjustment is like the biggest myth in football. And he's like, you go in there, you take a break, you eat a couple oranges, and they say, okay, let's go back out.
Which, I'm going to be honest with you, was never my experience at halftime. Well, so I don't know if the Colts were just easy keel.
Did you study as hard as Peyton Manning?
No one ever does, but, you know, mine was usually you go in there and like... the receiver coach calls you over, and he's like, where are my receivers at? All eight of us would waddle over. You know,
waddle.
The DBs are playing, you know, like this. They've been pressing outside, so we're going to need to take inside releases when we're running such and such route. All right, now go get your oranges, and let's get back out there.
I just got a kick out of it. I thought it was fun. Those guys are... People forget how funny he is. Because early on, his commercials were all funny.
Not SNL fans.
Oh, those are... He might be the best host ever. When he's hitting that kid in the outhouse, the porta potty, whatever, telling him to stay in there with the...
Dude, you suck.
I throw it, you catch it. It's not that bleeping hard.
And the Dolphins just fired their defensive coordinator.
Well, there's a lot of assistant jobs. And what's crazy, Aaron, is I actually think that's the right move on a lot of these teams. But getting the getting that decision right this next time, there's half of these guys ain't going to work out, which means there's going to be maybe even more head coaches out of work next year.
So I have bad news for you, Dal. Your Lamar Jackson hopes and dreams might be dead already.
Did he sign?
He didn't sign, but the Ravens have basically just come out and said in a press conference just now, first of all, Lamar Jackson will be part of the committee to search for a new offensive coordinator. I always love that. Second of all, they asked, would you be willing to trade Lamar Jackson? And the general manager said, that is not something we're even considering at this time. Right now, our priority is getting a long-term deal done. Obviously, there are alternatives as well, franchise tag, the like. So apparently they're just like, well, whatever we got to do, I guess we'll do it.
And here's the thing, though. I don't even know if I want Lamar Jackson. If it happened, fine. Here's an intriguing thought. Because we got our picks in, right?
Mm-hmm.
I picked the Niners. You picked.
I also picked the 49ers.
Okay. So Aaron Rodgers comes out and basically says, maybe they decide to go with Jordan Love. I still feel like I can play and win. I'm just...
No. What he said was, I still think I can play like an MVP.
Sure he did.
Which we can then transition right into Rob Gronkowski calling him out on it, talking about, why do you care if you can win another MVP? What's wrong with you?
Well, what I'm saying, though, is let's say a team like Washington or the Jets, or I'm just saying, what if Aaron Rodgers goes to one of these teams that might just, and I'll be honest, when I say Washington, that's wishful thinking. I don't know if they're a quarterback away or if there's...
If you get Aaron Rodgers on your roster, you will go from a random team in the middle of my likability index straight down to literally one step above the Packers. I will hate you more than Dallas.
But let's just throw this out there. Let's say he goes to Washington.
Let's not.
But let's say he does. And they've got some good weapons at wide receiver. They've got a good tight end, a couple of them actually. They got good running backs. And more importantly, they've got a good defense. What if that happened? There's so many things that are so outlandish this time of year. I mean, go back a year and think about what was kind of being said about what was going to happen the next year and how many of those narratives were complete bullcrap. I mean, most of them. So anyway, but there's some intriguing situations. I look at the Jets and I think, what if somebody was like, well, Tom Brady to the Jets. I'm like, Tom Brady's not going back to the AFC East. He's not going back there. He's not going to do that. Could I see him going to San Francisco? Yeah. He's from there.
Poor Trey Lance. His career is over.
Well, his career in California is over. Supposedly he made...
The Raiders need a quarterback, baby.
Supposedly he made some kind of online... He's like, he did fingers crossed emoji because Ray Carthen was just named the GM of the Titans. And apparently there's some... He's like, basically, it looked like he was wishing to get traded to the Titans.
It was the San Francisco 49ers head of player personnel was hired as the new Titans GM. Right.
But it almost seemed like he was like, take me with you. At least in emoji form.
Maybe. granted, you know, we always overthink the, he could have just been like, hey, I know that guy.
But next, I guess what I'm saying is over the next few weeks, this is something I want us to do on this show. I want us to come up with some opinions, strong opinions, and we're going to write them down and we're going to put them in a box. And then next off season, around this time, we're going to pull that box out and make fun of them. I want to do that. Can we do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Sounds like a good time. So, by the way, speaking of things to pull back up, I have it on my laptop here. We did these in July, and now we can finally go back and see how we did. The who would win each division predictions.
Oh my gosh, you kept this?
Of course, I wasn't going to write it down and then delete it for no reason.
That's funny. I'd completely forgotten about this. I'm actually excited to know what we picked.
All right. So we'll go through each one, see how we did here. In the AFC, both of us picked the Bengals. Good for us. We were almost wrong. The Ravens scared us. But good for us. South, both of us picked the Titans.
They were unfortunate. They should have, if they wouldn't have folded like a card table at the end of the season, they would have won.
In the East, both of us took the Bills in the AFC.
We got that one.
So far, so not a whole lot going on here. I'll keep that saved for when we do an interview in a second. AFC West, I took the Chargers. Whoopsie daisies.
At least they made the postseason. Who did I pick?
You took Kansas City.
Oh, okay.
So you're 4-4.
Woohoo!
NFC North. Oh, I get my point back. I took Minnesota. You said Green Bay. Green Bay came in third.
That could have been worse.
We both took the Buccaneers to win the South. Would have been really funny if we'd gotten that one wrong.
Well, especially that was a crappy division.
I feel like you might have given this one to me. I'm going to get a one-point lead here. I took the Eagles to win the East. Take a wild guess who you picked.
Yeah.
Washington, yeah. All right. And in the West, champion, baby. I took the 49ers. You took the Rams.
Oh, stupid Rams. Oh, my gosh.
I was really hoping at least one of us would have done. The Chargers might be the closest thing to something that seemed like a fun little pick at the time and then ended up being ridiculous.
No more ridiculous than the Rams.
Yeah.
They were a non-factor.
Even in retrospect, you can forgive someone for taking the Rams to win the division. That's the problem. Boo. Boo. Anyway.
Fun.
Hey, I won. Take that, Dal. Ha 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 ha.
I'm used to losing.
We finally have the camera here, and this isn't the week that I chose to bring the trophy and the belt in for my fantasy victories. Yeah. That's truly unfortunate stuff.
I need to bring in my trophy that I have won the last 2 years for my family league that now goes to my sister.
Looks like you can't bring it in then.
Why? Oh, I have possession of it. We don't hand it over until the Super Bowl party.
Do you have legal rights to show off this trophy at the moment, Dal?
There's no legal nothing.
That isn't yours to claim.
It is a crumpled up picture in a $3 frame. And the only reason I know that is because on the back of the cardboard of the frame, it says Dollar Store, $3.
Well, alrighty. It's been fun once again. Hopefully the Bengals beat the Bills this coming week.
You shut your face.
I will come in decked in all Bengals gear for next week's episode to celebrate
my victory. You definitely have me on that. You have way more NFL gear than me. I've just got Washington stuff.
And we will see you guys next time. As always, you can catch us here on YouTube if you're watching the video version. You can catch us on Spotify and at svinews.com/podcasts. See you all next time.